Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder E1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
60s tonight. If you got a high school game you're going to, Labor Day weekend, cloud sun mix, stray shower or storm chances, 70s to near 80 for the weekend. I've got 70 right now at your severe weather station. News Radio WTAM 1100.
Thanks for listening to Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. If you miss an interview, find it later on the Wills and Snyder Daily Podcast on WTAM.com or on our iHeartRadio app.
WellsandSnyder.com, Wells and Snyder Facebook page. Scott Scooter East, producer extraordinaire. Three things we're talking about this morning, including a sweep of the Tigers, right?
Yeah. And the Rays are on deck this weekend. So come on, boys. Just give them some hell down there in Florida. And hopefully the Twins will lose. And then we can catch them here in a little bit.
They're over in Tampa. Hopefully Dorian, which looks like it's heading right into Central Florida.
Yes.
Could be affecting things even over on the Gulf Coast as well with Tampa. So
correct.
All right. Highlights of the win, the sweep. Mike's got more in sports coming up. Browns last night. I'm not sure how many of these guys we're going to see during the regular season.
I know.
But at least they got their
chance.
At least
they got their
chance
and everything. And you know what? Hey, and if any of them get cut, you know what? You try it out again next year. You guys got to, you know, work at it and see if they can make a team. Even this year, Bill, they can make a team.
And unlike past years, you know, normally the Browns would make cuts and none of these guys would get jobs with any other team.
Correct.
This year, we may actually have players.
Yes.
That we cut that are actually good enough to play somewhere else in the NFL.
Yes.
Right?
And so, that's about time. And you know what? Good luck to them, guys. Anybody that gets cut from the Browns, hopefully they'll get picked up by another team.
And the other big story, you heard Vic have this in the news. Former Vice President Joe Biden. The video and more of the story is there at Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. We've got a report. This is NBC's Pete Alexander.
Pete Alexander.
Kind of putting together the whole thing. Here we go. All right.
It's a moving war story that Joe Biden has told before.
This guy climbed down a ravine, carried this guy up on his back under fire.
That he was in Afghanistan as vice president when he was asked to pin a silver star on a heroic Navy captain.
I said, sir, I don't want the damn thing. Do not pin it on me, sir. Please, sir, do not do that. He died. He died.
But according to the Washington Post, almost every detail of that story he told Friday appears to be incorrect. That he was conflating elements from multiple actual events, including when he pinned a bronze star on this Army staff sergeant, Chad Workman. Ultimately, the Post reports Biden got the time period, the location, the heroic act, the type of medal, the military branch, and the rank of the recipient wrong, as well as his own role in the ceremony.
This is God's truth. My word is a Biden.
Other than that, it was fine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you make mistakes on the campaign trail you're talking, but he's way out there on that one, looks like.
I think, you know what, with Warren coming heavy on him, he just needs to just start talking issues.
Getting some pressure.
And he's going to, because she's going to give him everything she's got.
Wills and Snyder Facebook, Wills and Snyder, get the teams, the scores right. You get sports mornings, 15 and 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Here's Mike Snyder.
Well, as long as I get one thing right, I guess, right?
Yeah, you can run for president, I guess.
Yeah, at least one thing right. All right, well, the Browns got things right in preseason and in camp, according to Freddie Kitchens, as he looks at the number one thing they accomplished.
I think we built toughness. We wanted to get that accomplished. We proved to ourselves that we could be tough. That's more so the case than anything.
Browns wrapped up the preseason with a 20-16 win over the Lions, fourth preseason games. There's some players that certainly made a case to be on the roster, which now must be trimmed from 90 to 53. By the indications yesterday, it appears that rookie Austin Seibert will be the starting place kicker, although Freddie would not confirm that afterwards. But now the cutdown goes on today through tomorrow as they get the roster down to 53. Ohio State quarterback, former Ohio State quarterback Braxton Miller, a candidate to make the team, but there is a real battle there for one of those spots, and I think as Bill said a few minutes ago, there are some players the Browns are going to be releasing that are going to be picked up by other teams. Of course, the real season begins a week from Sunday when the Browns host the Titans. Let it all begin. Indians had Mike Clevinger on the mound and no concern with the Tigers in Motown yesterday.
Again, the payoff pitch. Strike three called on a breaking ball that froze him. Clevenger will finish the day with 8 shutout innings and 10 strikeouts.
Wow.
The Indians 2, the Tigers nothing.
Boy, he is locked in. Frankie Lindor knocked in both runs, so the Indians complete the sweep. That's 14 wins in a row over Detroit. Tribe now in Tampa for the first of three against the Rays, and let's hope it's all only the Rays they have to deal with and not Dorian. Shane Bieber on the mound tonight at 7:10, and of course you can hear it right here on the home of the Tribe News Radio, WTAM 1100. Indians remain 3.5 behind the Twins, and guess who the Twins meet this weekend? They meet the Tigers, so it's unlikely, even if you sweep Tampa, that you're going to gain any ground on them. Now, the key to this series, Tampa right now is the third team. The Indians right now that have the home field advantage in the wild card with Oakland right behind them, and then Tampa a game and a half back. So these games are very meaningful for the Tribe this weekend. College football, it all begins tomorrow at noon for the Buckeyes as they open up against Florida Atlantic. Games played last night. Well, the defending champion and number one ranked Clemson Tigers defeated Georgia Tech 52-14. So they look like they are ready to defend their title and deservedly the number one ranked team. High school football, it lived up to the advanced billing. Menor wins a thriller over St. Ed's 29-28. Now, all kinds of games all around the area tonight. Get out and support your local team. Among some of the games tonight, Avon Lake, Lorraine and Brunswick, East Lake North, North Olmsted, Garfield Heights, Shaker Heights, Cleveland Heights, Medina, Solon and Hudson, Amherst and Lakewood, and we'll check out some of the other games as well around the area this evening as it all gets underway for high school football. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio W.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Let's catch up with our money guy, Chris Parker, the financial tailor to Parker Wealth Management. Joins us to break down some of the money news. Been a while since we talked, and since we did, they got together in Jackson Hole, that money conference. I know everybody was kind of watching some of the news, or lack thereof, maybe, that came out. You, though, came across an interesting editorial from a former Fed member about where we're at right now. What's your take on all this?
Well, Bill, when it comes to the Fed, there are three pieces that we can talk about, so let's just chat about them briefly. Number one, a couple of weeks ago, we got the most recent Fed minutes off of their last meeting, and what it showed, the takeaway for me, was that the Fed is not unified right now when it comes to how to deal with their interest rates. There are a handful of people who don't think interest rates should be moved at all. There are those who think that they should be moved slightly, and others think that it should be moved far more deeply. So that was the take from the minutes. Jackson Hole really didn't provide a lot of news other than Chairman Jay Powell saying that they don't have an official plan to reduce rates. They're going to kind of take it as it comes. But the editorial that was released this week in Bloomberg is from a former Fed official, Bill Dudley. Bill Dudley was the president of the New York Fed. It's the number two position in the Fed, if you will, Bill. It's the vice chairman, in effect, role. And he came out and he said that the Fed should use their policy and influence to defeat Donald Trump in 2020.
Mm.
Now, we need to remember that the Fed says that they're fiercely independent and that they're apolitical. And yet, we see that that may not be the case. You know, it was at the end of last year that I read something from economist John Malden, and he called out Janet Yellen the end of last year and said that she hadn't raised interest rates and that it was politics that was involved, that she was supporting President Trump and she was trying to help then candidate Hillary Clinton run for the White House. And when I read that, it raised my eyebrows and I said, wow, that's a really strong statement. I went, have to ponder that. And now we get an editorial from the person who was her number two, who in effect said that he is a partisan. And so I would submit, Bill, that that at least raises some optics issues for the Fed. It reminds me of that infamous line from The Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Chris Parker at Parker Wealth Management. All right, let me touch on China and trade. Look, every day I'm talking to Ed Corey of Bloomberg. We're looking at markets in China. This, that, trade deal off, on, tweet, back and forth. Just the possibility of a deal getting done continues to influence the markets. As we speak currently, what do you see with this story?
Well, I think it's interesting, Bill. The news this week is that China has come out saying that they reject an escalation of the trade war and they negotiate with a calm attitude. And I have a number of questions. Just what are they choosing to reject? Remember, this is the same country where we had a 150-page trade deal that was pretty much ready to go. And the first Friday in May, they sent a communique late on a Friday night to the White House saying that, you know, that 150-page agreement, we think it needs to be edited. And so they took out all of the matrix, all of the things that would hold them accountable, Bill. And by so doing, they cut out a third of the agreement. It was almost like, if you want a photo op agreement, we're willing to participate as long as we're not held accountable.
Right.
And so if we need to remember that China does not have open trade with the United States. Now, they do take a lot of our agriculture in, and that's wonderful. But when it comes to other goods, they place things called tariffs on American products so that they're unaffordable. And so what we're seeking is not free trade. We're seeking fair trade because we don't have free trade. And so China says that they want to negotiate. China says that they're going to come to the table. They're inferring that they're going to negotiate in good faith. I think it's a little early to know if that's true, but time will tell.
Chris, Labor Day Monday, the unofficial end of summer. You've got a few numbers for me about the Labor Day holiday?
Bill, there is so much to do. You can go to the Cleveland Air Show. You can go to the Geauga County Fair. You can go to the Cuyahoga County Fairgrounds for Oktoberfest. Or you can go out to Blossom and watch Star Wars with the orchestra playing the score. According to Wallet Hub, Bill, numbers. 1882, that was the year that the first Labor Day celebration took place, and it happened in New York City. 12 years later, Bill, in 1894, Congress made it an official holiday. 25% of us will travel during this holiday. 40% of us will be barbecuing. And 818, Bill, you know, between Memorial Day and Labor Day, 818 hot dogs per second will have been consumed here in the U.S. of A. as we honor the American worker.
I'll try and do my share. Chris Parker, the financial tailor, Parker Wealth Management. Great stuff as always, Chris. Thank you and have a good weekend.
You as well.
Mike's sports coming up.
A major storm, a major hurricane coming our way sometime during Labor Day.
Time to act is now.
Just worry about, you know, contaminated water, worried about the electricity. How long is the electricity going to go out if it goes out?
Some of the sound of the people in Florida getting ready. Michael Bauer with us. Let's track Dorian. What do we know this morning right now?
Well, we know that Dorian has spun into the warm, open waters of the Atlantic, and as concerns are growing about the storm's projected path towards the U.S., it is now a Category 2 hurricane. And that said, you've got winds of 105 miles per hour, and this is something that will continue to grow here, Bill. We're expecting, at least at this point in time, that this will strike as a major hurricane over the upcoming holiday weekend, and if it remains on path, it'll be the fourth year in a row that Florida has been hit by a hurricane, and that hasn't happened since the 1940s. Now, right now, there are concerns from forecasters as it makes its landfall. It could be pushed into Tuesday. We initially heard yesterday be late Sunday night into Monday morning. Now it looks like it could be slowing down, making it into Monday night, Tuesday morning, and that it's predicted that it will be a Category 4 storm. But it still has yet to make its way over the Gulf Stream, where you're going to have the cool, welled-up water in the storm rapidly replaced by more warm water. That makes it a more powerful storm. And that's got some forecasters concerned that this could move into a Category 5 storm on the table before it reaches the U.S. coast, which is a maximum sustained wind at 157 miles per hour.
And that slow speed and the winds could also make this track move up and down the coast, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now, one of the big problems has been tracking this thing, trying to figure out where it's going to hit. Right now seems to be the closest we've gotten to anything that would seem as though everybody's on the same page. The American model and the European model way off yesterday now both seem to be merging in an agreement that Dorian may be making landfall in southern Florida, possibly north of Miami, close to West Palm Beach. Again, not set in stone because it could get up to the coast and then make a right-hand shift or a left-hand shift. We're just not sure. But it is a state of emergency alert for the entire state of Florida right now, which is a good move. You've now seen Georgia kind of offer up a state of emergency to coastal areas there as well, in concern that who knows if it shifts right and goes northward, that could be a big issue. But it's also appearing at this point as though, similar to Francis back in 2004, as Dorian gets closer to land, he could slow down, that this storm could slow down. And as you're pointing out here, the big outer bands could be whipping away at whatever part of the coast it approaches, along with the huge amount of rainfall and the storm surge, which we know is the deadliest part of these hurricanes.
Obviously, thoughts, prayers, millions in the path of Dorian. Michael Bauer tracking it this morning. Michael, thank you. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Labor Day weekend coming up. Fox's Chris Wallace in for a little preview of Fox News Sunday. What direction are you going in Sunday?
Well, I think two directions. First of all, headed to the east coast of Florida with Hurricane Dorian. I think that's going to be the big story this weekend. It looks like it's going to hit either late Sunday, early Monday, and we'll be all over that story. Live report from the region, tracking the storm, talking to federal officials and state officials. This could be a pretty serious hurricane. People in Puerto Rico seem to have dodged a bullet. Doesn't appear the people in Florida will. And then also, as you say, it is Labor Day weekend, and we're going to have an exclusive live interview with Rich Trumka, the president of the AFL-CIO. We'll talk to him about the president's trade policies and trade wars, and as well, Democratic politics in 2020, which with new qualifications, new standards for the next round of debates, the field is beginning to winnow.
Yeah, kind of thinning the herd just a little bit on the different levels you got to get as far as money and following for the next round of debates, right?
Yeah, and we've got one candidate has already dropped out, Kirsten Gillibrand, and there are other fairly notable people like Senator Michael Bennett, Governor Steve Bullock, Mayor Bill de Blasio, who are still in the race, haven't dropped out, but they are not going to be on the stage for the September debate. And I got to think, first of all, I know there's a lot of grousing about the DNC, as you say, thinning the herd. It seems to me at this point to get it down to 10, who have at least 2% support is not an onerous requirement. And look, those folks can stay in the race if they're able to make a splash somehow. They won't do it on the debate stage in September. Maybe they'll get to the next round of debates. But, you know, these folks, it's not that they even have 1% support. And it seems to me after months and months of campaigning to say, well, gee, you really haven't met a threshold, I don't think that's unreasonable.
Hey, any takeaway from the G7 last weekend with President Trump and China called me, then maybe they didn't, or anything, Iran showing up at the meeting? Any takeaways from all that?
Well, no, in the sense, I guess, that it's... And that's part of the problem with covering this president. I mean, a story when the president says on Friday, I hereby order U.S. companies to leave China.
Right.
You got to take it seriously. Right. You got to cover it. But right. On the other hand, by Sunday or Monday, it's, oh no. If we make a deal, we hope they'll stay in China and do their best. So it was a question, actually, I asked Secretary of the Treasury Mnuchin on Sunday. Who thought I'd ever say this? When the president says something, how seriously should we take it? It's actually a pretty good question.
It was. That's what I wanted to touch on. Of all the years you've covered things, I thought, now that was worded rather interestingly, but I don't know how else to word the question. You're right, yeah.
Right. Well, as I say, this is he's got his own style. And you know, right now, I know there are a lot of candidates beating him, but I'm not sure anybody would bet the house that Donald Trump isn't going to get reelected in 2020. I mean, it's a long time. Yep. A lot of things can happen.
Yep.
But it's going to be a very tough competitive race.
I would agree with you. A lot can happen between now and even Sunday morning. That's why Chris Wallace is around.
Let's hope so.
Fox News Sunday. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
One of those interviews right now. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Graduate Benedictine, Ohio Sports Writer of the Year. So many times, columnist, Cleveland Plain Dealer. Cleveland.com. Good morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
Preseason football in the books. Give me a few takeaways this morning on the Browns. What comes to mind as the season starts a week from Sunday for you?
Well, thank goodness preseason's over, but Dontrell Hilliard, I thought he needed to play well, and he did, because you could act like Nick Chubb's never going to get hurt or whatever, but there's a reason John Dorsey liked to stack up some of these running backs, and that is to protect himself. And this was the Hilliard that they had been raving about, almost for a year that you saw in practice and that kind of thing. Quickness, could catch some passes, looked pretty good. Braxton Miller is interesting. I think he's John Dorsey's. Remember Rashad Perryman last year, a guy that kind of hadn't shown potential but was highly regarded at some point. Comes in right at the end of training camp, and they got some mileage out of him. I think Miller is that guy for the Browns, at least the way Dorsey looks at it.
Yeah, and his versatility is certainly something that will enhance him as part of the roster. Terry, I guess the move yesterday, they go out and acquire a guard from Buffalo. It tells you if there's an area of some concern going in, it's got to be with that offensive line, right?
I think real concern is rather than some, and they're going to continue to look for other guys, people being whether they get waived or people that Dorsey thinks are going to hit the waiver wire, but the Browns won't get a chance to grab them, so they'll trade, you know, somebody else for them. I think he needs some more offensive linemen, and you know, it's because, like, Corbett didn't play anywhere close to what they thought. You know, it was unfortunate the guy that they took in the sixth round, Drew Forbes, was moving up the depth chart, and he was taken off with the knee thing. So, let's put it this way, shopping season for offensive linemen may be just kicking into a higher gear.
Yeah, the next few days.
By the way, good news, the kicker's had two good games in a row, Seibert, and so he's got the job, and we'll see. I mean, he actually, the last couple of weeks, looked like an NFL kicker.
He has, but you don't know till it's on the line in the regular season. And if they drafted him where they did, so you got to believe they want to give him the first shot at it, right?
Right, they did. But I think if he went out there and kept hitting the goalposts on extra points and stuff, I mean, you know, that's the one thing there. It's sort of pass-fail. It's not a, like, well, gee, I like his form or whatnot. You know, it's like, what is Freddie Kitchens said, it went through the yellow post or it didn't.
Final minute with Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Okay, Labor Day weekend, guys. Baseball, Indians in Tampa, sweep of the Tigers. But who's playing Detroit next, Mike?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. And
Minnesota, like, never loses.
Yeah, and
it's hard to lose to Detroit, too.
Detroit never wins, it seems like. So.
Yes, Detroit's designed not to ever win.
Carrasco looks like Sunday.
Yeah. Looks like, Terry, that's going to be the case. He pitched last night, got through it, from what we can tell, okay, inning in the third. That's going to be quite a moment when he takes the mound. And they really need him now, don't they, back there?
I wrote last weekend that their plan for him, assuming he stayed healthy, was to do the Andrew Miller thing, you know, where he goes an inning and two-thirds, or you insert him into a key parts of the game. Because they believed that Hand was going to come back. There's nothing physically wrong with Hand. He just had a bad week and a half. And maybe that's the case. Let's put it this way. He saved a bunch of games against the Royals and Tigers. And you can say it was Royals and Tigers. But a couple of weeks ago, it looked like he couldn't save a game against anybody there for about 10 days. So that made him feel good. Get that bullpen going, because you know how Francona loves to go with the pitching. Isn't it amazing the Indians have the lowest ERA in the American League?
With all that they've had to do.
It really is.
Yeah, great point. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, always posting some great stuff. Terry, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Take care, guys.
6:58. More on the Tribe with Jensen. Friday football picks. So you just heard Scooter 2.5 minutes ago say, oh, sure, I'll do them. Yeah. So you know how much research he's put
into. Well, I'm never here usually this time of year, the first college.
He's Mr. Wikipedia.
I'm on vacation. I took vacation next week. So, you know.
Wow.
So that's why I usually never pick this
Bill,
week.
He does the flex, doesn't he?
Well, I've been here for 15 years. I figured you guys would figure this out, you know?
We're supposed to know this Friday every year you're on vacation.
I usually am, but this year I decided to go.
Make sure you send me your dates next year.
I will. That's all right. Hey, it's all college this weekend, so I'm ready. I got three big games here that I'll pick for you guys, so no problem. All right, here we go. Let's start off with LSU and Georgia Southern. LSU, I believe they're gonna have a big year this year, and I'm gonna take them minus the 27.5. So take LSU minus the 27.5.
It's like a sucker weekend because you don't know about any of these teams, right?
Well, that's why it's hard. The first weekend of college, some teams give a lot of points,
you were
some
to
don't.
Avoid, huh?
Yeah. All righty, and then now Rocky Top Tennessee. I like to see Tennessee bounce back this year. I'm going to take them minus the 26 over Georgia State.
26 points.
Yeah, they're giving them 26. Rocky Top Tennessee. They need to bounce back this year. I like the squad, so we'll see what happens.
Wait, there are some good games, Scoot. Why are you ignoring like Auburn and Oregon?
Because I didn't pick that. If you want, you pick it. It's all right. So then finally, I'm taking the Buckeyes minus 27.5.
Kiffin, against 27.5.
Yep, 27.5. Wow. So if they win by 28, I'm a winner. So
I know, Lane Kiffin. I don't know. You know,
Matt McCoy later at 8:15. Lamore on the Bucks. I mean, the era of a new coach, quarterback. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. There's a lot on the line there to see how they play tomorrow. And I think Lane Kiffin will bring a team up there that they'll have a few tricks up their sleeve for the
quirky guys. Lane Kiffin.
Quirky.
Now next week it'll be the spit and polish. Everything will be put together.
Well, I can't wait.
The trends and notes and everything.
And you'll be off.
No, actually, I'm going to do it on Wednesday because I'll be. I take vacation next Thursday, so I'll do it on Wednesday. So I'll do my picks on Wednesday before I leave.
So you want to schedule your picks next Wednesday morning?
Well, I do produce the show. I guess I could put myself in there. You know, I could. You know, I could put myself in there. You know,
how about that, Bill?
So there you go. So that's how it works.
That's exactly how it works. Can you answer a phone?
I sure can.
All right, 216-578-1111. It's Friday, TGIF. It feels like a Friday every day when you walk into Fridays. I've got a $50 gift certificate for you for TGI Fridays. Lunch menu pairings. Now, Scoot, these are every Tuesday only. They don't move them around like you do. Kids eat free with the purchase of an adult entree. One free kids meal per adult meal, 12 and under. They don't move the age either, unlike you. Visit your local TGI Fridays. The ones that participate with me in this promotion are the ones in Stowe, Green, Brooklyn, Westlake, Menor, Mansfield, and Strongsville. Okay, so thanks to them for helping us out. Checks in every Friday with us on News Radio WTAM 1100 after a sweep of the Tigers. Morning, Jensen.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good news is we swept them, but now Minnesota gets to play them, right?
Yeah, it's been a very dismal year for Detroit, to say the least. Almost historic in a lot of different ways, but it's sort of the schedule where you felt that as long as the Indians held the serve, it's going to come down to when the Twins and the Indians match up head-to-head. I think at any time you have teams that are 25, 30, and 40 games out in the division, you just can't afford to give up a game. So it needs to do what they need to do. Now, if they're going to face a team in the Tampa Bay Rays that literally just blew through their entire bullpen the last couple of days down in Houston, it was a tough series for them. Knowing that Hurricane Dorian is imminent here, hopefully they'll be able to get in all three games and not have to worry about playing a doubleheader tomorrow. They'll be able to play that day game on Sunday and then get out of there safely along with the rest of the other people that need to evacuate there. So, just again, you have that portion of the schedule. They did what they had to do against Detroit, and now it'll be a tough series against the Rays.
Jensen, as you point out, the Indians are going to have those head-to-head meetings with Minnesota. Long way to go on this thing, but I will say this, after watching Mike Clevenger over the last few weeks, if indeed they are headed for a wild card at some point, I'll feel very good with him on the mound for that game.
You're right, Snides, and to be able to pick between him and then tonight's starter Shane Bieber is an embarrassment of riches for Terry Francona, because you've got two guys that will match up very well with those circumstances if indeed they got to play one game. The way Clevenger's throwing right now, it's as good stuff-wise I think I've seen him, period. And to know in his last, you know, 10, 11 games he's undefeated at 8-9-0. He's really elevated his game, and I think he's understood now that when he's ahead, we call it advantage counts. When you get to two strikes and you're ahead, he hasn't messed around. You know, in years past, they've kind of been pitches where he's had hitters try and chase or try and come out of their approach. He's just tried to collect outs, and if it comes via the strikeout, great. If not, he forces weak contact. I think he's very good with that, and that's a sign of maturity to be able to try and get as deep as possible into games. Yeah, it's where Max Scherzer really took his game off and went to a completely different stratosphere. Corey Kluber much in the same right. So I think you're seeing Clevenger do that from yesterday, and probably you'll see more of the same from Shane Bieber tonight.
Jensen, Carlos Carrasco pitched an inning in the third in Columbus last night, so it looks like he will be activated on Sunday. They could really use him. How do you see that evolving if indeed this all progresses the way we're all hoping?
Yeah, it's nice. First and foremost, the human interest part of this, where if nothing else, the boost to this clubhouse is going to be fabulous to see the smile and, you know, the energy of Carlos Carrasco back with them. And it'll be fun to see how this all plays out from an on-field standpoint, as you alluded to. To me, I've mentioned it the last couple of weeks, it feels like he could be the American League version of Josh Hader, what Hader has been the last couple of years to the Milwaukee Brewers, especially in the postseason, where he could throw, you know, a couple of innings and be able to bridge the gap from the starter to the closer. So I hope fans just allow him, you know, those 4 to 5 appearances where he can kind of get himself back into, you know, game shape, because pitching in the big leagues is a lot different than pitching in the minor leagues, and then also adjusting to that new role again. He's done it before in the bullpen, but to be able to settle back in, you got to give him at least 4 to 5 chances to get out there and get the heart rate going and the mindset right, but I think he's a valuable, valuable weapon for the Indians bullpen.
Good take. Jensen Lewis on the Tribe. Andre out with the team. We'll get the latest from him at 8:45, especially with the speculation about Dorian and the schedule for the weekend. Jensen, thanks, pal.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
See you, buddy. Fred Greetham, great follow on Twitter, at Fred Greetham checks in. Preseason finally in the books. Morning, Fred.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You posted the impressions and the good ones on the defensive line. Let's start with this trade, Mike and Fred. What's this tell us about Dorsey on this right guard trade that we made with Buffalo, Fred?
Yeah, all preseason they rotated three guys at right guard, you know, Austin Corbett, Eric Cush, and Kyle Kalas, but they never seemed to be really settled. Cush started the first three preseason games, but as far as he never really got the full endorsement. They said, well, yeah, if we had to start tomorrow, he'd be the guy, but it's an open competition still. We still haven't made a decision. So this trade yesterday with the Bills to get Wyatt Teller, a guard who started seven games as a rookie last year. The Browns gave up two mid-round picks. So that tells me that they're pretty serious about putting him in the mix to be the starting right guard.
All right, Fred, training camp in the books, four preseason games in the books. Your thoughts on what Freddie did this year? It really was a tough training camp itself, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a little old school. They were in pads virtually every day after the opening couple days, and they were testing guys their mental toughness, and one of the things he really wanted to do was make this team a physical team, and we'll see if it carries over into the season. But yes, they had a tough long camp. I think they accomplished what they wanted. They answered some questions, but they have questions still to address. I think last night, you know, the defensive line, the front line we saw against Tampa Bay looks like a real dominant force. But the question, we always know there's injuries. What about the guys after them? Well, DeVarro Lawrence and Daniel Ekwulele and even Chad Thomas, you know, all were in on the quarterback last night. And it was really, you know, opened some eyes. I think that especially this Lawrence kid, he has been almost unblockable in training camp. So that bodes well for the Browns going into the season with that defensive line.
Now, I know Odell Beckham Jr. talked to Channel 5 during the telecast last night. He says he is ready to go. We've not seen him in any games. Your thoughts about that, about Baker, Odell? I know that's what the fans are certainly going to want to see a week from Sunday, Fred.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was, I think they just kind of kept him in bubble wrap. He was out there every day. I had some video this week, him and Baker in between when special teams was working, you know, they're running drills. And he was back in team drills. I think that was the plan all along. And I'm not too worried about timing. I mean, he's going to get the ball if it's in a close proximity to him. And, yeah, I think that it's going to be quite exciting to unveil that offense, put it all together, and see what they have, you know, as the team starts next week.
Tennessee, a week from Sunday. I mean, depending on the year, there have been some years they started Labor Day weekend. But I mean, the league's trying to put Labor Day behind them and then start.
Right.
So week from Sunday, game one, Fred.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big news here in the next day or two is they got to go from 90 to 53. That's like 47 guys have to be lopped off here in the next day or two. And so it will be how this comes together. There'll be any surprises or what they'll do. But John Dorsey, you know, has shown that he's going to keep turning stones over to see what he can do to improve the roster.
When they make a move, Fred will let you know. Follow him on Twitter at Fred Greetham. Best Browns coverage. Also more at WTAM.com. Keyword Browns. Fred, thanks. We look forward to a great season. Okay, pal?
All right, guys. Sounds good.
Best Browns coverage. We'll be talking to Josh Cribbs, Bernie Kosar, Terry Pluto, Fred Greetham, of course, covering the team. News Radio, WTAM. Let's talk Buckeyes. Bring in Matt McCoy. Okay, the era of Ryan Day and Justin Field starts Saturday?
Yeah, and a lot of people are very interested to see, especially Justin Fields. This is a five-star recruit. He went to Georgia, but if he had come to Ohio State has never had a quarterback recruit, even Terrell Pryor, was rated as high as Justin Fields. That's the kind of talent that he brings. He kind of runs like a Braxton Miller, but he's got a cannon of an arm, and if they can marry those two and he can protect the football, he could be a great one here. I think the thing that's going to be interesting, though, is he's only been on campus since January. Ryan Day has stressed patience with everybody because he's still learning the offense. When we saw Dwayne Haskins last year, he had been in the program 2 years, and then he burst onto the scene. So how soon is he going to be great? I don't know, but I think we are certainly going to see flashes of that athleticism tomorrow and throughout this season.
With Ryan Day now at the helm, are we going to see anything different in terms of what we have been used to seeing with Urban Meyer?
Well, I think, Mike, the offense might be a little bit different than Coach Meyer's offense, although, you know, Ryan Day's been running it the last couple of years. But, you know, I think he is more of a throw-first rather than run-first guy. Having said that, I think it's going to be more of a running offense than it was last year. Dwayne was, you know, somebody you're only going to see once in a generation. I mean, 50 touchdown passes, and he broke every Big Ten and Ohio State record. I think you're going to see it more of a running offense, but I do think Ryan Day is more of a would like to set things up and throw the football and stretch the field vertically than Urban Meyer. However, I don't think it's going to be a drastic change. I think if you drop somebody from Mars and watch last year, the last few years of Ohio State football, and watch this year's, my anticipation is it's not going to be drastically different, more subtle differences between Ryan Day and Urban Meyer.
Matt, in terms of maybe lack of experience or a position area of concern, what would that be for the Buckeyes right now?
Well, it's funny. I think going into the season, a lot of people would have said the offensive line, and we shall see, because they have to prove it on the field. They lost four starters from last year, and at times people weren't thrilled about the offensive line last year, but they feel really good about them. They got a lot of young talent. They, you know, this Josh Myers is going to be starting at center now. They have some young kids that are on the way up, and they feel like it's going to be a really good unit. But I think that's one unit to look for a couple of reasons. One, you need a good offensive line to have the kind of run game for J.K. Dobbins that you want. But two, Justin Fields is the quarterback, and guys, there is an enormous drop-off between him and Gunner Hoke or Chris Chuganoff as backups. You got to keep Justin Fields upright, or this thing could go south real quick. They got to do a very good job of protecting the quarterback.
Noon tomorrow, Ohio Stadium. Fox has got it for you. Buckeyes ranked number fifth. Lane Kiffin brings in Florida Atlantic. Matt McCoy on it this morning. Matt, thanks, pal.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Tradition started back in 1947. The Thunderbirds. We are honored to have Major Matt Kemmel with us, number five, as he is referred to when it comes to the Thunderbirds, the lead solo pilot, U.S. Air Force Demonstration Squadron, on the hotline because, of course, the air show is this weekend over Burke Lakefront over Cleveland. And Major, this is Bill Wills. Thanks for your time, sir. We appreciate it.
Hey, Bill. Nice to talk to you.
First, thank you for your service. 2160 flight hours, I am told, 719 combat hours. So thank you for your service. That's the important thing.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Happy to do it. And it's been a good career so far. And awesome to fly for this team and talk to you guys this weekend.
So as a pilot, when you're in the Air Force, is it a goal to be in the Thunderbirds? I mean, at what point was this kind of where you kind of set your sights?
No, not exactly. I had joined the military. September 11th happened when I was in high school. I'd always had an interest in aviation, and then it was after that I decided, hey, I'm going to combine these two passions, which is serving my country and flying jets, and that was always my goal. And once I achieved that and was able to have a couple of deployments and start teaching other people, well, then I had some time left as a pilot. Your commitment's about 10 years in the military, so I owed a few more, and I thought, man, this Thunderbird deal looks pretty good. I had a couple friends on the team, and I just seeing the opportunity to be able to go and talk to others around the country about my experience, the experience that that others share too, and to tell a story of people that are downrange right now and work. And we have over 60,000 people in the Air Force deployed right now, so to be able to share their story means a lot.
The Thunderbirds are truly America's ambassadors in blue, right?
That's right. Yep, trying to do the job in blue.
I was looking at some of your bio. I mean, growing up, motocross, snowboarding, tennis. I guess that's how you relaxed, maybe. All the other sports, you're a pretty active guy then, right?
I was always active. Try to be active now. I think flying really sort of feeds that as well. He talked about, man, I haven't been on a dirt bike in a long time, but I think flying has been both my hobby, my passion, and everything. So this has been able to feed all those things and get my adrenaline rush, and also hang out with some pretty great people, both in the military and also the civilians that get to meet across the country.
Thousands of us who enjoy the what you do overhead and like the air show this weekend with the Thunderbirds just are amazed. So with that in mind, just a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And how close? What's the closest point? Sometimes these wings are close to each other.
Yeah, the closest we'll get is about 18 inches away, and keep in mind, we're going, it feels pretty slow, everything's relative when you're in the jet, but we're going upwards about 400, 450 knots, starting our loop sometimes close to 500 knots as we maneuver around, but the closest we get is about 18 inches between number four and number one, in what's known as our arrowhead formation. Luckily, I don't have to get that close. I'm about 2 feet away from the jet that's next to me when I rejoin, and we make up the Delta formation, which is when the six of us are all flying together as a formation. But typically, number six and I, if you go to a show this weekend, you'll see us making close passes right in front of show center. We're both at 150 feet, and the optic is that we're both barely missing each other, but we're about 30 feet away from each other at a closing speed of about 1,000 miles an hour. So it's a lot of fun, but again, you practice stuff, and when you first learn it, you're, of course, much further out than that, and you start to walk it in, and soon enough, you're comfortable being very close.
I'm not a pilot. Forgive me for some of these questions. How much of it is feel? I mean, as far as flying with a team and knowing where the other pilot is?
Well, it's feel that you have to gain over a long time. So like with anything, even if you're not in aviation, you play sports or you on the radio talking, it's just practice and comfort with something. So at first, I've spent a lot of time in the F-16 when I first started learning how to do loops and rolls. 2 feet from another aircraft, I was sweating probably more than I had over places like Afghanistan and Iraq, because it's not natural. But talking on radio isn't very natural either, but you do it over and over and over again, and you can start getting, becomes like a sixth sense, and you know when things are good, you know when things are, you know, having an off day, and just get a little bit better, hopefully, at it every day.
You know, I mean, over Cleveland this weekend, at least we're not shooting at you, right?
That's exactly right. But there's pressure. We want to land, make sure you guys get a good show. And I think the weather's going to be good this weekend. A little secret is that we don't like it when it's totally sunny outside, because we have to stare at the sun when we're in formation. So we end up, like, I've been in shows when there's not a cloud in sight, and I'm just, like, weeping as I fly because you're staring at the sun. So you get those really high clouds that you guys potentially have this weekend. It makes for a really good show. We'll be able to do our full high show with loops and rolls and have some sneak passes in there too. Should be a fun one.
You answered my second to last question. So here's the final one. Thunderbird number five, Major Matt Kimmel with me, the air show this weekend. Are there commands? I mean, take me into the cockpit. How much talk is there back and forth?
Yeah, there's quite a lot. So, and every once in a while we can get some guests on headsets and they can listen in and hear the communication that goes on. So number one, Lieutenant Colonel John Caldwell, our boss, is typically who they'll hear the most. And he has, like, we call it a sing-songy sort of cadence-like sound when he's describing the maneuver that we're doing at the time. And the rate, everything's important, has meaning behind it. So the rate and the way he says things will describe how much he's pulling at a time or how fast the turn is going to happen, because the wingmen on the side need to be able to anticipate how much his input is going to be before he actually does it. That way the formation looks like they're moving as one unit. Otherwise, if they're playing catch-up the entire time, you'd see them moving around quite a bit. And then the other communication is me yelling at number six on the radio, the solos using the other radio, to command our timing so that our timing pattern finishes directly in front of the crowd.
So that cadence, that is true teamwork. I mean, you just have to know each other.
That's exactly right. And it takes, like I said earlier, a lot of practice, but you get used to it. And can't say I can do it in my sleep. Still takes a lot of work and a lot of focus. But, you know, with a lot of trust in my teammates, we can make this show happen.
Fascinating. Major, again, thank you for your service to the country. Thank you for what you'll do for us this weekend as truly America's ambassadors in blue. The Thunderbirds are overhead. Major Matt Kimmel. Sir, thanks much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill. Nice chatting with you.
Be good. The air show, good luck this weekend. The air show over Burke Lakefront. By the way, my partners at Discount Drug Mart, advance tickets, save a couple of bucks before the gate at your nearby Discount. President Trump had a trip scheduled over to Poland, so now I'm not going to send Vice President Pence because he wants to follow Hurricane Dorian when it comes to FEMA and everything else in Florida. Total Tribe coverage, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder, alongside with the team in Tampa, Andre Knott. Your Indians update brought to you by Falls Motor City. Morning, pal.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Clevinger with 10 strikeouts over 8 innings, 2-0 win, a sweep. First on the ground there. Talking about Dorian, I know during the game, Hammy was and Rosie were, you know, kind of speculating a bit. What are you hearing as far as this hurricane affecting your weekend?
We don't. I mean, it's just that speculation. No one knows anything. I've talked to Tito about it two or three times, and at this point, the last time we heard, and this is yesterday, but MLB hadn't really did much. We thought there's been talk, but there's possibility if they're really afraid that possibly we have a doubleheader on Saturday, but that's just speculation. Otherwise, they think that we'll be able to get the three games in, and then we can get out of here, we hope. I know for a lot of us, myself included, we're not worried about the games. We're about our families who've come down and that are down here that aren't on the team flight. So we shall see. Hopefully everything works out well, but I think we're all kind of just playing it by ear at this point in time.
And Dre, what's kind of the atmosphere among the people, you know, who live in Tampa right now? What's it like around here? What is the atmosphere like right now?
Well, we didn't get in until after 9 o'clock. It's hard to say. I think most people down in Florida are so used to this kind of being a part of their life. I think they all kind of have their game plan of what they do. I probably can answer that question better probably in 24 hours, but we shall see. I mean, when you look at it for the Rays as a baseball team and knowing Kevin Cash, this is a huge homestand for them. This is, they have us for three. I think they have Baltimore for three and Toronto for four, in some order of that. This is huge for them, and as much as we made a big deal out of the series when the Indians are playing the Minnesota Twins, this is the same type thing, because I think these two teams look at themselves as they're battling for the wild card. So I think that's the main thing that Kevin Cash has his team worried about.
Dre, I think sometimes we don't talk enough about the great players we have, and Francisco Lindor, 25 home runs. He's really on another roll again, and talked the other day about this team being on a mission. Your thoughts around being around Frankie and observing him this season after he really missed the first month because of the injury?
Yeah, it's, you know what, I'm glad you said it that way. I think sometimes it's easy to take the great players for granted. And I don't think you do it purposely, but I think when they do things that they do year in and year out, you become used to it. And, I mean, for him to have 25-plus home runs after missing that first month and a half of the season, for him to be just the player that he is, I think, even when Ramirez got hurt, he was in top 10 in doubles, and we talked about how bad his season had been. You talk about Lindor, and suddenly some of his numbers are in the top 10 of MLB, and just the consistency of doing it. I think the three years in a row of 25-plus home runs, no middle infielder has ever done that for the Indians. I think the last guy to have 25 home runs three times was Travis Hafner. But he's doing other things than that. Not only are the numbers just unbelievable, but he's leading, and he's become a leader, and he's getting these guys. And I know that we used the quote yesterday before the game that he's on a mission, and he's telling these guys, we're on a mission, and we plan on winning the AL Central. We're not giving in. And he's pushing these guys. And I know this will be a big weekend for him down here in Tampa because, he played in the high school in Orlando, and there's a lot of kids that went to the high school that he went to that he usually gets tickets for. That's what I marvel at, to be honest. When we were in New York, he's shooting commercials. The day after the All-Star game, when everybody else was getting a rest, he was shooting, he was shooting commercials. He, much like when LeBron was in Cleveland, he's got so much going on, but he still continues to make the number one thing the game, and I think that's what's special about him.
Andre Knott, Fox Sports, Sports Time, Ohio. All right, obviously millions thinking, baseball might be a second thought, but thoughts, prayers when it comes to Florida this weekend. Pal, thanks much. Stay safe, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, be good. Charles Nagy, the fan fact answer for the morning. Charlie inducted into the Indians Hall of Fame 2007, member of the 1988 U.S. Olympic team. Your fan fact answer for the morning. 7:10, first pitch tonight, right, Mike Snyder?
7:10, you got it. Shane Bieber on the mound for the Tribe tonight.
All right, pal. Have a good weekend, by the way.
You too, Bill.
Geraldo in Cleveland coming up at 9:05. Be ready to text to 200-200 when you hear what to text at 9 to be at the iHeartRadio Music Festival out in Vegas. And watch for a callback from the 513 area code. Good luck. Traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons for your drive. Pat Butler.
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, if your child suffered a serious birth injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO.
Highway's much lighter than usual this morning. Actually, everything pretty clear. 90 East is a little heavy on the Interbelt Bridge downtown. And there is a tie-up if you're heading into Akron. There's an accident on 76 East before the Central Interchange that has the left lane blocked. This report is brought to you by Zelle. Sending your kid off to college? The best care package isn't a package at all. Send them money with Zelle. Zelle is an easy way to send money to friends and family right from your banking app. Look for Zelle in your banking app or get more info at ZellePay.com. Zelle, this is how money moves. Next traffic update in 8 minutes at 9 a.m. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 a.m. and 106.9 FM.
Great Geauga County Fair, air show, Oktoberfest, bunch of stuff going on this weekend. Possibly a slight chance of a shower scattered. Closer to the lake, better chance looks like, according to Channel 3 meteorologist Holly Strano, upper 70s. 70 right now at your severe weather station. News Talk and Sports, News Radio, WTAM 1100. Stories we're following for you at 9. Here's Vic Gideon.
The brother of a four-time Olympic gold medal gymnast involved, at least charged in a triple murder that happened on New Year's Eve in Cleveland. We'll have details about that. Highland Heights mayor steps down after allegations of embezzlement from a congressman's campaign. And you can't only just smell, hear, feel. You'll be able to experience Labor Day in a very special way. A lot of a total sensory experience. Those stories.